Good afternoon. Today is Friday, December the 14th, 351st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Assistant Fire Chief for the Humboldt Bay Fire District, Bill Gillespie. Hey, guys.
It's good to be here, Brian.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, okay. Pleasantries. Pleasantries, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's Friday.
There you go. We got all kinds of different things we're going to be kicking around. We've got, obviously, Christmas time, Christmas safety. Don't burn your candles in the tree.
Uh-huh.
We'll do some of those reminders also, along with some of the different things that have been going on the last little bit, including training on the trainer vehicle. Things are different. Yeah, I guess that's a norm.
Oh,
things
yeah.
are different and will continue to be different, but we'll try to explain the differences when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Robert Louis Stevenson. Really doesn't make a whole lot of sense as a novelist. I mean, if Shelley had done this, we wouldn't have had Frankenstein. But, quote, keep your fears to yourself. Share your inspiration with others.
You're definitely right on the Frankenstein.
Yeah. I can't imagine being alive during that time and having such levels of creativity mm-hmm. kicking around in so many different fields.
Right. So many different things that they did then.
Yeah.
You know, between the arts and literature and just discovery.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, how much has fire service changed in 100 years?
Oh, big, big moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let alone, well, I guess our industry, starting right about now.
Yeah, it's been changing.
Yeah, exactly. Different stuff. One of the things, though, that I guess is always seems to be around is the need for you guys to get out of the fire station and go throw some water on something.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Keeps you. I guess, for lack of a better term here, keeps you fluid. You got to stay on top of your game. What you
that one works. What lessons did you guys get out of the fireboat? I know that it's now been enough time, so everything's settled, and you're now more analytical and more textbook rather than discovery.
One of the biggest things we found with the fireboat, after having been able to use it to supply water across the bay in Samoa last month, is just how much water we have the capability of moving with that boat. Part of the design, a lot of the work that went into the design of that boat was the contingency. If we have the big earthquake, we have the big fire, can we bring this in, tie it up at the foot of F Street, and lay large supply hose up toward the middle of the business district? And they did over at Samoa. They laid a long lay of supply hose, and the guys that were operating on the boat said, oh, we could have pushed a whole lot more water if we'd have had more hose capability.
Oh, really? So it was the hose size that was the issue.
Exactly. They laid a 5-inch supply line, which will move a tremendous volume of water from one place to another. And the fireboat, it's twin pumps, twin engines, it's made to go all the way to 2,100 RPMs. They were pumping about 1,350. They had capacity above it if we had more capability to get hose to them.
Do you have a larger hose?
What we can do, we don't go bigger than 5-inch, but we can lay multiple lines. And in the case over there, the hose that they provide, or the hose and the water they provided, really made a big, big change in that fire across the bay. Between that and cutting a section out of the top of the roof.
So if you had two hoses run,
mm-hmm. they could have supplied it.
You could have smacked it down even more. Wow.
Possibly. The biggest thing was being able to get the apparatus around the building to be able to supply.
Oh, just so you had enough length hose to get there.
Yeah, just access to get there. Yeah.
Was the tide, now we just this week had the super mm-hmm. highs and super lows.
Right.
Does that impact significantly, or is that just a factor?
It's a factor. It depends on where you're at. If you're along the waterfront down here, like the lower edge of Eureka, you're working off a docks. You're on the edge of a channel, so the boat can rise or fall. If, like across the bay where they were at, they worked off of a dock, but then they maneuvered in at a later point to flow water directly on the very far edge that they couldn't get to with a fire engine, then they had to really watch the tide, because as the tide dropped, they're having to move back. Otherwise, the boat won't pump sand good. If you strand it, it's kind of out of service.
So if you're pulling back,
mm-hmm.
you're dragging hose?
In the case of that point, they had disconnected from the hose. We do the hose connection if we can tie up firmly to a dock. That way the boat's not...
But if the tide goes down...
If the tide goes down, we've got enough of a curve at the dock so that the boat can lower and you can let the hose go over the side.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, or a little contingency there.
Yeah, so somebody thought about that one.
Exactly. Yeah. All of a sudden, whoop, the boat's tipping up.
So how far up do you think you could run? If it's a 5-inch with the power that you were indicating,
mm-hmm.
let's use foot of F.
Right.
Fifth Street?
We've got the potential to be able to push up to Fifth Street or maybe a little bit further.
With enough juice to still
exactly,
do the job.
Exactly, exactly. What we would end up at a point like that is pump it up through the supply hose, and then somewhere along that point we would have an engine in the mix, so that as the water came in from the boat into the engine, you could boost it again and continue moving it further. And we did...
So a second pump station.
Yeah, exactly, to boost it up and keep going. We haven't done it with this boat yet, but the previous boat, when we had it, we did a drill like that we pumped 2,000 or 3,000 feet of hose.
Salt water is okay for the fire truck?
You really got to rinse it. Two of the largest capacity ones that we've got here for Humboldt Bay Fire have stainless steel plumbing in them. That's just how they were built, and so it helps a little bit. But yeah, when they were done, they hooked to a hydrant and they let everything flow. You had to flush it all out. We know what salt water does to metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Bill, as you're looking at some of the different activities that are going on currently, you had a couple mm-hmm. of fires earlier in the week, in the weekend. Normal, regular stuff, drug-related stuff, holiday stuff? What do you know,
so far it seems to be what we've run into is normal, regulated. We had the fire earlier in the week out on H Street, and... although it's so far has come back as undetermined, it doesn't look like it was any odd activity going on.
You guys
all.
Know so what's good. if it is. Yeah,
you know, we've had an odd fluke of a fire the previous week that was an electrical panel that just no other reason. It wasn't a load, definitely wasn't a grow fire.
Just
panel had issues and started to burn. So just a couple of,
shoulder shruggers.
Yeah. Okay, it started about here, but why? I'm not sure.
Do you ever find out about some of those?
Sometimes we'll go through, and through the course of the investigation, either we'll discover or uncover, what the cause was, or sometimes potentially insurance company on a big loss will come in. We can isolate it to an area or an idea of what we have, but they'll bring, sometimes they'll bring an electrical engineer in that really dissects what the component is. Yeah.
Do you guys learn from that? Are you able to?
We do. When we're able to find out what it is, it gives the ability to say, okay, this was the cause the lab identified. Okay, how did that look on the scene? And it gives the ability to say, I'll put that one in the head for the next time if I see that again.
That's why I was wondering, Do you guys have records then?
We do.
Of old ones and the weird stuff?
Yeah, you know, you keep the records, and it's different things between our investigators internally, and then we're also members of the Humboldt County Fire Arson Investigation Unit. So we share information like that with other investigators throughout the community.
So as you're considering options, will you go through the old stuff? Or is that just really
sometimes
weeks later and you go, I wonder if there's something else?
It'll a lot of times, if you refer back to something in the past, it's because something caught your eye and you say, you know what, I've seen this before, or one of my other investigators that I work with has seen this. Let's go back and take a look at what the findings were then to see if it's similar or if it's something totally unrelated.
How far back do you go?
We've got records that go back a long, long ways. I haven't looked.
So some of the things might have been 30 years ago.
Exactly.
But you can reference.
You can still go back and reference. Yeah.
Do the new guys do that more regularly than the old guys?
It's probably about 50-50. You get into it, you hit a point that you start, you're really looking at it and think, you know, I remember somebody talking about this. I'm going to go talk to so-and-so and see if they recall if it was similar. And you'll compare notes that way.
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking some of the institutional knowledge, particularly because you guys have had significant turnover in the last little bit. That kind of stuff might be slipping through the cracks.
Right, to be able to carry that forward so that it doesn't get lost as people retire and go away.
Or just easy to find.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, the retrieval, you might have it, but if you don't know where it is.
Right, where to look.
Yeah.
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 I've got it, but I can't tell you where it's at.
Exactly.
No, the more you can, be able to share that information, it stays fresh in everybody's mind.
We seem to have had an awful lot of activity in the drug arena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you listen to any of the newscasts this week, and it's just
peppered
full. Do you guys run into an awful lot of that kind of a related activity with the responses you're running? Either
periodically we do. You know, we started a few years ago tracking like fires related to indoor marijuana grows. And I don't have the numbers here to pull right out of the air, but we do. It kind of runs back and forth. We're starting to see on the legal grows, the ones that are permitted and inspected, they comply with electrical standards. Installations are done to code versus some of the ones that somebody comes in and they say, hey, I'm renting this place. I'm going to grow some marijuana. And they start plugging outlets, cords in, and daisy chaining extension cords through the house. Those are the ones where we run into the problems.
So, but it's not an overwhelming prevalence right now.
No, it's hit and miss. We run into them occasionally, and then we might go for a while, and then all of a sudden we go to another one where maybe something fell against a grow light. Even
is a while a day? A week, a month?
We're probably, we'd be in the month, every couple of months frequency at this
You'll run
point.
Into, yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down.
We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live and we revere it, the Northwood spirit, Northwood Chevrolet.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie, Assistant Fire Chief for Humboldt Bay Fire. Christmas time brings a lot of stuff. If somebody is not using antiques, Bill, is there any way that they can torch their tree? Short of too close to the fireplace,
right,
or the heat. I mean, something really overt.
there are some different ways. One of the biggest things that leads to it is if they forget to water their tree. The tree's in there. Of course, it's cut off. They still need water. You got to keep them green. We all like looking at a nice green tree. When they're not watered, things still look green, but they'll dry out. And you get anything, any kind of a heat source close to them, whether it be a candle, whether you get it a little too close to a wall heater or a floor furnace, because we do run a lot of fires from those appliances with things too close to them, you can set the tree, and then once the tree gets going, they go like a Roman candle. I mean, that's a beautiful heat source. You got the presents, you got the tree limbs. It just carries it right to the ceiling.
I would think 2 minutes, the event is over.
Oh, yeah. It moves. Once the tree starts, it moves fast. Then it spreads out to the couches and everything else.
That's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Will, I think most of us have, whether it's a Christmas tree or just
right
pruning, have seen dried fir snap, crackle, boom, gone.
Poof. And it burns
so
hot.
If it's gone and there's not much residual, does it spread or does it tend to be the tree? You see the scorch pattern on the roof, the walls. Okay.
As much stuff as we've all got in our houses with our sofas and our shelves and entertainment centers, it tends to spread really well because in the past it was all made out of linen and cotton and that kind of thing. Well, now it's all gasoline, essentially. All the plastics that we've got in our homes and all the nice dry wood, they tend to, when the tree goes off, they tend to spread rapidly.
So if you have a situation like that, and you, let's say you come in the room and there is a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got 911, but right, you guys are still 5 minutes out.
Right, we're a few minutes before we're going
to
be there.
Okay, at that point, as it's starting to happen, what do you suggest the homeowner do?
The big one is if they've got an extinguisher handy and they know how to use it, they can attempt to put it out if they're comfortable with it. The best advice that we give is get everybody out of the house. Get out of the house, make sure we're on our way, and don't go back in. If the place is burning, it spreads rapidly. And there's too often you hear of fatalities where everybody got out and then somebody went back in after property. They went back in to go get something. The best bet, get out of the place. Because it does spread fast.
Don't drag the sofa or the lazy boy away.
If your best bet, if you see it and realize it, by the time you know about it, get everybody out of the house. You know, some of them we see are the middle of the night. You're asleep. Now you're counting on your smoke alarm that we've all got and are operational, and we haven't taken the batteries out of for the kids' toys or that
other,
kind
other
of
than
thing.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
To exchange.
Yeah. We want to keep those working. We get the early alert. Get everybody out of the house. It makes our job a whole lot easier when we get there if we know everybody's out of the house and safe. We can go in and concentrate on getting the fire put out and try and minimize the damage that way.
How far do you typically, what's involved by the time you guys get there? I mean, let's use our place.
Right.
Relatively easy to get to by a number of different stations, kind of central. What would be the scenario?
If you hadn't been watering the tree, Brian, and it torched off, it's going in the side of the room. Usually by the time you get out, you get 911 called, we get on the road, we get there, we're going to find the tree is torched and it's spread, the presents are burning, and usually the furniture in that room is going. It only takes a minute, minute and a half for all of that to start to occur. It only takes about 4 minutes for it to be burning all the way to the floor.
Carpet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
carpet. Engaged?
Oh, yeah. It can be, if you have enough in that room for the buildup, within just a couple of minutes, you can have the carpet starting to burn.
So let's throw in a couple of other things that may add to or might save.
Right.
Okay. We always have the windows, many of the windows slightly open just for air circulation.
Right.
Does that add to the speed of spread? Does that dissipate it because now you're not going to get the window blowout thing?
You get a window cracked open doesn't really change it that much because once that fire gets up hot enough, as it's building heat, the windows start to break out. As the windows break out, then it really starts breathing. You'll see the smoke coming out, but you can also see the smoke sucking back in through the window if it's close. And it gives the oxygen the fire needs to really take off then.
Fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Not with a wood stove. Regular old fireplace. Damper open.
Right.
Does that assist or is that a non-factor?
Not really. Not really. The intake on a fireplace is low enough to the floor that you're not really going to see too much of a change one way or another with it. Of course, if you got a fireplace or a wood stove in your home, make sure you keep the stuff back away from it. You know, don't have the pile of newspapers right in front of it. Have your screen up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Think about it a little bit.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I mean, we want everybody to enjoy the holidays and be safe. You just you take a few minutes and just make sure your tree's green, no flames. Don't put candles in your tree. That was something that they used to see a lot in the past. We don't see it hardly at all, but you get a candle close to it, and it doesn't take much to get one of these beautiful Christmas trees to burn.
Does flocking do anything?
The flocking that's applied, if it's flocking that's applied like by a retailer, the flocking material that they apply, quite often it's flame retardant or it's flame resistant. So it actually helps slow it down.
I saw
it has the potential to.
We saw a cool one last weekend. Mm-hmm. We were getting some other stuff, and it was red.
Really? I've always seen white.
Yeah, white.
Yeah. And you know, it look like snow or ice.
Yeah, but it was red. And, you know, as goofy as it sounds, it kind of looked cool.
That's something a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who thought of it.
Where the idea came from.
Yeah, probably a fireman.
You never know. Wanted a red tree.
Yeah.
Jeez. I like a green tree. I don't want to see it red in my living room.
Right, right.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website hwma.net.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Bill, having the old man get a state recognition is cool, period. The fact he's only been around for a couple years is a little bizarre.
He's definitely an involved guy. You know, the award, they call it the Ronnie J. Coleman Leadership Fire Chief of the Year Award. And it's only been established for about the last 10 or 12 years. So he's in a pretty small group already. And, I mean, he's involved here locally with, you know, the community and obviously the fire service. We're going through consolidation and everything. He's a member. He just went from the California State Fire Chiefs Association Ops Group, the Operations Group. Well, now he's a board member for the big agency statewide.
Oh, so that's why he's not here today. He's a little too much of a mucky muck.
He's a board member for the overall state authority. And he said, you know, as he's hearing it and they're talking about, they're awarding the award. And he said, I'm starting to hear these things about what's going on.
You're sounding familiar.
Yeah. And he said, I'm sitting at a table with the chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department. And he said, San Diego's represented, all these big communities. And it clicks in his head. Holy smokes, they just called my name. And, I mean, very humble, humble guy.
Very cool.
Yes, very cool.
What does it mean to you guys? Not the senior management team, mm-hmm. but I mean the entire department. Is it validation? Is it confirmation? Is it, oh no?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. It's one of the biggest ones. It's pride. That's our fire chief. And to receive an award like that and a recognition means he's involved in a lot of different things and doing a really good job. You know, the side aspect of the consolidation we're going through, he's got departments all over the state saying, you guys are at that point this soon? Let me talk to you. How are you guys doing that? And, you know, it's just that pride factor. And, of course, as I said earlier, the chief, Ken's very, very humble, and he, like he said, it's my team. It's the fire department that helped. It's all of us. And he's a leader.
So was it consolidation that was the thing that was recognized as the big wow?
It was a combination of things. Consolidation was one of them, but some of the programs that he started on the previous to, or prior to consolidation on the Humboldt side, that we've worked together on to get in place, rescue swimmer program here around the bay for the joint department, just a lot of the different involvement there. And then they look at involvement in the community, you know, whether it be church, whether it be service groups. He's got involvement in all of those areas. And they really looked at the big picture with it.
Well, make sure you kick him out so he shows up next month.
Oh yeah, we're not going to let him get away.
Yeah,
you got to be able to bring this one back up with him.
Well, and I noticed it wasn't a celebrity status based purely on this
right.
program that drove it.
Right,
home.
Right, could have been a factor though.
Yeah. At least we didn't screw it up, huh? Thanks for coming by, Billy.
You bet.
Happy holidays to
hey,
Jan
you
and the
too.
Kids.
You too.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs and gloves. See you tomorrow.